Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord. This beautiful morning, we welcome you in a Saviour's name. And we pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will be with us as we fellowship in his house once again today. We do remind you of the announcements both for today and for the incoming week. This afternoon over in Auchar is our monthly meeting at 3:30 with our Auchnacloy congregation. And if you can go along and support that, then we do encourage you and remind you of that meeting there in the Auchar Meeting House. The Reverend Peter McIntyre, the minister of Clocker Valley, will be speaking at that meeting this afternoon. Then we gather again here in the house this evening at 7 p.m. with the season of prayer at 6:30. And God willing, we'll be here to conduct that service. We want to look at a special subject or topic this evening, wayward children in godly homes. Wayward children in godly homes. So do make that effort to come again this evening and to come and to study God's Word and to worship the Lord in his house tonight. There is a choir practice afterwards for the brethren. We do remind you of that. Monday evening will be the final rehearsal night for the children before Parents' Day, our Parents' Evening. And so we do encourage you to remember that work amongst the boys and girls tomorrow night at 7 p.m. This Wednesday evening will be a deputation meeting instead of the normal prayer meeting. And the deputation is for the outreach to the ploughing championships every year. And the Reverend Jonathan Crane, the Minister of Convoy, will be along to bring us up to date on how the Lord is blessing and how they are seeking to serve the Lord at the ploughing championships year by year. So do make that effort to come along on Wednesday evening and to not only support that work with your presence, but of course there'll be the offering afterwards to go towards expenses of that work. On Friday evening, there will be youth fellowship here in the church at 8 p.m. And can we ask for a good attendance? The month of April, of course, is a busy month, and we have our gospel mission. And this Friday evening will be the only practice for the young people for getting ready to sing in one of the evenings off our mission. So young people, we asked you to make that effort to come along on Friday evening, not just to have fellowship together, but also to practice and to get ready for your part to play. There's also a presbytery this Friday evening in Market Hill at 8 p.m. with the way that Easter falls this year. They've brought the presbytery forward by 1 week, and so, brethren, we remind you of that in Market Hill at 8 p.m. Services next Sunday, the Sabbath school at 10:30. The morning time, worship, 11:30, the season of prayer, of course, at 11 a.m. Next Sunday morning after the morning meeting will be the observance of the Lord's table. We remind God's people of that to come and prepare yourself, even as you come, that the Lord will bless and meet with us as we come around his table. Next Sunday evening will be Parents' Night. We're looking forward to that time. The children have been busy in preparation, and we do pray that the Lord will bless in that meeting and bring in their parents and their family members as they come to take part. There will be supper next Sunday night as well, and there is a sheet in the front porch. If you can help with the catering of it, then please do sign up for what you can bring next Sunday evening. Do remember the missions as they continue. The two missions, 1 more week off them each, in Park and Ower, in the Manor House, and also in Newton Abbey Free Church. Pray that the Lord will yet bless. The Lord will move. Visitors have been coming into those missions, and we thank God for that. But we do pray that the Lord will save souls and move in these days. We do remind you of, as well, and we mentioned to you, and as a congregation, we extend our sympathy to our sister Anne, and to Keane, and to Paul, on the passing of Anne's father, Mr. Ernie Murray. He passed away on Friday afternoon, and the funeral will be tomorrow in Londonderry Free Church at 12:30. And we do, as a congregation, extend our Christian sympathy and love to them. And we pray that the Lord will be very near and precious unto Mrs. Murray and to the family circle at this time. As I said, the funeral is tomorrow at 12:30. It is open. You're welcome to go if you can. And if you are going, the family, just to mention to you, are doing a greeting or a line-up before the funeral service. The funeral will be in Londonderry, and then the committal will be up towards Limavady. And so if you're wanting to go and to speak with the family beforehand, then we just mention that to you to give yourself time to go and to meet with them. Psalm 18 is our opening worship this morning. The Psalm 18, you'll find it on page 14. And we'll sing together the opening five verses, verse 1 to verse 5, and then we'll move down to verse 33, and we'll sing from 33 to 35. So Psalm 18, Thee will I love, O Lord, my strength, my fortress is the Lord. Verses 1 to 5, and then the verses 33 to 35, please. Amen. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Still ourselves in His presence. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we come humbly and reverently into Thy presence this morning. We thank Thee for the access and the invitation to come and to lay our petitions at Thy feet. We thank Thee for our acceptance in the Beloved. We thank Thee, O God, this day for our standing in Christ Jesus. We thank Thee for our intercessor, the great High Priest Himself, the one who presents our prayers even to Thee, the one who was that sacrifice for our sin. We thank Thee, O God, this day that sacrifice was accepted. We thank Thee that Jesus Christ was able to cry, "It is finished," knowing that full atonement had been made. We thank Thee that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. We thank Thee that He is alive today. Oh, what a blessing, what a joy, what a strength that is even to us, Thy children, that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. And Father, we thank Thee for the comfort of the gospel. We thank Thee even in these times whenever, O God, loved ones are taken from family members. Yet we thank Thee for those that die in Christ, that it is absent from the body, it's present with the Lord. We thank Thee that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. We thank Thee, O God, this day that we have that assurance that for each one that dies in Christ, they die well and they simply leave off their earthly shell and forever they will be with the Lord. We thank Thee that that was the experience even for our brother, Mr. Murray. Lord, we thank Thee that this day He is with His Savior. But we do remember and we do pray for Mrs. Murray and for the family. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt sustain and strengthen them. Even as Thou hast been their portion over these weeks, we pray, O God, that Thou wilt continue to be very near, to bless them and to encourage them. We think of tomorrow, Lord, and we just pray for that grace to be given upon grace. We pray that they will know the presence and the help of the Lord. Bless Thy servant who will minister in that funeral. Lord, give him the words to say. And even through the passing of Mr. Murray, that loved ones in the family circle will be brought to Christ. And that family will be united in Christ. O Lord, hear and answer prayer. We remember this work in this church. We remember, O God, the needs of the day. And we thank Thee for what Thou hast already done for us today. We thank Thee, Lord, for bringing each one here in safety this morning. And for that measure of health and strength and, Lord, the soundness of mind and the traveling mercies to be in Thy house. We thank Thee for the Sabbath school. And we thank Thee, O God, for the children and the young people that were under Thy word this morning. We pray that Thou wilt yet bless that word. Lord, that it will not quickly be forgotten, but, O God, that it will be hid within those young people, within those children's lives. And, Father, that they will live for Thee. And that word will bring forth much fruit. And it will strengthen their walk, those that are saved. It will strengthen their walk with Thee. That they will shine brightly. That they will live for Christ. We ask Thee, O God, for any that be unsaved, that Thou wilt have mercy. That Thou wilt save their precious souls. Lord, remember us as we are gathered to worship. Oh, how much we need the presence of God. How much we need Thy protection to be round about us. How much, O God, we need the devil to be kept out of this meeting. Every distraction to be kept out. And, O Father, that this will be a special time in the house of the Lord. When the Lord makes Himself known. When we hear His voice. O God, the voice of my beloved. Oh, may we hear it this morning. May we hear, O God, that message from Thee for each one of us. That it will be hidden in our hearts. It will be applied to our lives. And we will grow in grace. Our lives and our testimonies will be strengthened. Even within our families, within the community, that they will know that we are children of God. They will know, O Lord, that we are those that love the Lord, that serve Thee in everything. O Father, bless this church. Bless every work within it. Bless every family. O Father, even as we consider the topic for this evening, we think of family members that are outside of Christ. We think of children, O God, that are far from Thee. We pray that Thou wilt yet draw them unto Thyself. They will be brought into the family of God. They will be united to Christ. Oh, Father, we pray that Thou wilt work in these days. Remember gospel missions. Remember the going forth of the gospel right across our land. Oh, Father, we thank Thee for the good news. We thank Thee that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We thank Thee that Thou art still saving souls. We rejoice in this. Oh, God, age is not an issue with Thee. In terms of salvation, we thank Thee for elderly people that have been saved. We thank Thee, O God, for middle age, for young people, for children that have been saved. And, O Father, that those mercy drops will turn into showers, that we will hear and we will know that the Lord is moving in our land once again. We pray even in regards to that testimony, that service that was held yesterday outside of the city hall. And, Father, we thank Thee for the going forth of Thy word. And we do pray that Thou wilt speak, Lord, to individuals, that those verses that they read upon those placards, O God, that those verses will yet strike home to the hearts of individuals. And Father, that Thou wilt have mercy, that Thou wilt save precious souls. Lord, remember us for good today. Remember our homes. Remember, O God, every need within those homes. Father, we leave that with Thee. We thank Thee that Thou dost never fail. Thou dost never forsake Thy people, nor Thou art with us whithersoever we go. And we praise Thee for this. And, O God, we just ask Thee that Thou wilt just watch over and be with us this morning and bless us in this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. 402 is our second item of praise this morning, the hymn 402. The page is 339. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul, friends may fail me, foes assail me, He, my Savior, makes me whole. 402, and again we'll stand as we sing, please. Let's open our Bibles in the book of Proverbs and the chapter 13. Proverbs in the chapter 13, we read together the opening half of this chapter this morning. Proverbs 13, verse number 1. Word of God says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Amen. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts as we read it together. We're going to sing together now our offering hymn. It is hymn 373. 373, "He is not a disappointment. Jesus is far more to me than in all my glowing daydreams I had fancied he could be." 373, remain seated for the first part of the hymn, please.
Thank you.
Let's stand for the remainder of the hymn, please. Let's open our Bibles in the book of Song of Solomon once again, in the chapter 2. Song of Solomon in the chapter 2. I want to read just one verse together this morning, the verse 15. Song of Solomon, the chapter 2 and the verse 15. It says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." I want to speak this morning on the subject, dealing with the foxes in your life. Dealing with the foxes in your life. Let's just still ourselves, unite around the throne of God in prayer, and ask the Lord to speak and to work within us today. Father, we thank Thee, O God, for the truth of the hymn that we've just been singing, that the Lord is not a disappointment. We thank and praise Thee, O God, that He satisfies our every need. His grace is sufficient. His salvation is perfect. And we thank Thee, O God, for that fellowship, that communion that we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for Thy word, even that now is open before us, for this Song of Songs, and for all that we've been able to glean thus far. And O God, as we come around Thy word now, we pray that we will yet glean more, that Thou wilt speak to us, O God, that Thou wilt challenge us, and even by Thy word and by Thy Spirit, that Thou wilt challenge us. O God, hear and answer prayer. Be near to us in these moments together, in Jesus' name. Amen. This particular visitation of the bridegroom to the bride was truly a great blessing indeed. The time of banqueting had only left her yearning for more. That time when she was in the banqueting house, and the time of the visitation beforehand, and all of the blessing that it had, it left her simply yearning that it would happen again as quickly as possible. Of course, that ought to be the position of every child of God. Every time that we feel the Lord's presence, every time that we hear His voice personally, that we have the desire to experience it again and again. That we never simply live in the past, but we yearn that the Lord will ever come, the Lord will ever speak. Well, the bride was in that place. After the banquet, the bridegroom had withdrawn himself. And either she had stayed at the palace or she had returned to her home. But wherever she was standing, watching and waiting. She was longing and looking forward to that time when once again the bridegroom would be with her. Once again that she would see him, once again that she would hear him. That particular visit, which is recorded in Song of Solomon in the chapter 2, was a very special time for her. From the start to the end, it thrilled her heart. When she saw, or from the moment that she heard his voice, it lifted her. We noted that together, the voice of my beloved, and how there is the exclamation mark after it, there is just that leap as it were within her. And she saw the boundless energy and the enthusiasm. He's coming leaping, he's coming skipping over the hills and the mountains. He longs to be with me. Of course, that time then, whenever he stood at the wall and the window and the lattice, it moved her, it impacted her. Not only does she remember his appearance, but she also remembers every word that he spoke at this visit. You see that in the verse 10, because she says, "My beloved spake and said unto me," and what follows is she just repeats every word that he had said to her. Those words of encouragement, the words of exhortation, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, come away, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone." And it's just that exhortation, "Come away with me." But those words of the bridegroom, that visit, they come to an end in the verse 15 with a command and a warning. "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." These are the last words that the bridegroom speaks, because then the verse 16, she says, "My beloved is mine and I am his." She's now, as it were, just speaking and she's testifying of what it means to her and how special it has been and how much she loves her bridegroom. But verse 15 is his final words. Those final words of the bridegroom really leave a lasting effect upon her. What he had said to her, she did not cast to the side. She remembered it, she marked it down, and she repeated it. So I believe that they ought to be acknowledged and appreciated for what they are saying to the bride of Christ. There are two things I want to leave with you in our time this morning in relation to dealing with the foxes in your life. I want you, first of all, to consider the harm that foxes can make. The harm that foxes can make. You know, within the Christian life, we know there is much danger. We know from the moment that you're saved that there is a target upon your back. There is a desire by the devil and with the devil to harm, to hinder, to disrupt, to do whatever he possibly can to hurt and to attack the Christian. We are called and commanded to be sober and to be vigilant. We're commanded to put on the whole armor of God. The Lord has provided it for us and we are to put it on. We are to use it. We know the enemy is a great foe. And so whenever we're being sober, we're being vigilant, whenever we have the armor upon us, whenever the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, we have all of these things upon us, then we're expecting, we're looking for a great enemy. We're looking out for the lion that walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We're looking for the dragon, as the devil is referred to. In other words, we're thinking of two great and deadly predators. We're thinking of those that can just rip and destroy in seconds. A lion could destroy you with simply one paw. A dragon could destroy you with one breath. And so we're on the hunt, as it were. We're on the guard. We're on the lookout. We're on the ramparts. And we're thinking to ourselves, right, where is the lion? Where is the dragon? We're scanning for danger. We're looking over our shoulders. Then we just see a little fox. How quickly it would be and how easy it would be just to look and go, "Oh, that's only a fox. I'm looking for a lion. I'm watching for a dragon. It's only a fox. It's not even a big fox. It's just a little baby fox. And aren't they so cute? They're bushy tails, and don't they just look so lovely? So much danger in a lion and a dragon. A fox may seem insignificant. You might glance and take one look at it and say, no, that's not what I'm looking, that's not what I'm watching for. In the grand scale of things, what can a fox do compared to what can a lion or a dragon do? And yet the Lord warns his bride, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. In other words, get rid of the foxes. Not to abide with them, not to appease them, not to like them, not to be interested in them, not to give them a place, not to leave them alone, but to take those foxes, those little foxes, and get rid of them. Why? Well, it tells us, verse 15, they spoil the vines. You look at the words that are used. Take us the foxes, the little foxes. He draws a distinction between big foxes and little foxes. Big foxes will go and steal the fruit. That's all they'll be interested in. Little foxes destroy everything. If a big fox comes and takes the fruit, well, the vine's still standing. The branches are still strong. But a little vine will destroy branches, destroy vine, will destroy roots, will destroy everything. You see, what Christ is really speaking about here is a relationship between the Christian and Christ. John 15 and 5, the Lord declared, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. You see, the foxes, the little foxes, can destroy that beautiful relationship between the bride and the groom, between Christ and the Christian. Not simply taking the fruit of the Spirit. Not simply taking that which grows upon your branches of salvation. But those little foxes can destroy to the very point where no fruit will ever grow. What are the little foxes we're talking about? Well, it's those seemingly insignificant things in your life that are actually damaging your relationship with Christ. What about the little fox of gossip? You just love to wag the tongue, as it were. You hear something about someone and you just can't wait to pass it on, to spread it, and you love to hear gossip. Proverbs 16 and verse 28, it says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer, in other words, a gossiper, separateth chief friends. That little fox of gossip has wrecked many a Christian life. What about the little fox of anger, of wrath? Again, Proverbs 29, verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, a furious man aboundeth in transgression. In other words, that little fox where you're ending up being a hothead. You're just sharp and just bite with the tongue. You just rise up in anger. Anything annoys you and you immediately just go from DEFCON 1, as it were, to DEFCON 5 and you're just straight in there. What about coveting? You look around, you see what others have. Whatsoever state thou art therewith to be content, but whenever you see someone else has got something, you see that someone else's house is going well, or they've a new car in the drive, or brand new outfits every time they want, and children are of everything, and you're just coveting what they have. Well, Proverbs 21:26 teaches that there are those who covet greedily all the day long. All they look for is what others have. Instead of thankful and thanking the Lord for everything He has given you, you're constantly just going, I want more. What about bitterness? Acts 8 and verse 23 teaches that those who are in the gall of bitterness are in the bonds or the captivity of iniquity. In other words, you're bitter, you have a bitter spirit, you have a bitter heart, bitter tongue. Instead of showing grace, instead of showing love and kindness, rather you're just filled with bitterness. Bitterness towards individuals. Instead of showing forth the love of God. What about the little fox of pride? Proverbs 11 and 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. In other words, when you're so full of yourself and you just think the best of yourself, and all you ever do is raise up self, and in your head you're just, I am great. I have everything. I am just head and shoulders above everyone else. I'm more intellectual, I'm richer, I've whatever. When you're filled with pride, all you're doing is bringing shame. Of course, there are many more foxes than just those. That's only a few. They're little. They can be large. My, what damage they are doing to your spiritual walk. What damage they're doing to your relationship with the bridegroom. And all you're concerned about is the mundane things of life. All you're concerned about is me, me, me. All you're concerned about is what others have, or spreading gossip, or using the tongue, or just gathering unto yourself all that you can. And the whole time your relationship with the Lord is just soaring. You know, I did a little research into foxes. Learned some interesting facts about foxes that when you apply them to the Christian, well, certainly there are lessons for us to learn. Firstly, foxes are great nighttime predators. Primarily, they will come out at night. It's at night that they'll do most of their hunting. It's at night they'll do most of their damage. How often that's the case with a Christian? It's at night is when the Christian does most of their sinning. Late at night, maybe even in the confines of your own bed, you're gossiping. You're coveting. You're bitter. You're lying in your bed at night and filled with bitterness. Sitting there on your phone, Instagram, Facebook, seeking gossip, seeking to see, well, who's where, what they're doing, what do they have, what are they showing today? Oh, look at that person. They're always on. Look, they're showing again. My, look at the life they have. You're finishing your day with bitterness coming into your spirit. You're filled with anger. Don't even have to leave your bed. You don't even have to move, as it were. You're just sitting there scrolling, and it's just the bitter spirits just welling up within you. Or the nosiness and the gossip. Instead of finishing your day thanking the Lord and praising the Lord for His goodness and His mercy, instead of drawing near to the Lord, even as you put your head upon the pillow, but rather you're just filling in, the little foxes are coming in late at night and they're just damaging. Maybe you're looking up things in your phone you shouldn't be. No one else knows about it. The little fox is just there, and spoiling that warmth of fellowship with the Lord. Foxes are great nighttime predators. Another interesting fact I learned, foxes will eat anything. They're not fussy. They can eat meat. They can eat plants. Urban foxes will go through trash cans. I remember one time I went to Belfast for one of my exams, and I was there at 4 a.m. Just got up and went and parked up, and then I knew I was there, so I just then sat and studied in the car. 4 a.m, up the road came this fox. Just walking up the middle of the road. Just scarring from left to right, seeing what he could have, what he could find. Foxes aren't fussy, they'll go for anything. In the spiritual parallel, little fox will go for any part of your testimony. Any part of your life. Those little foxes, there's nothing off limits to them. They'll go after your devotional time. They'll go after your family time. They'll go after your public life. They'll go after your private life. They will seek to harm. They will seek to get in and to destroy the vine in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what part it is, whether it's in your heart or your mind, whether it's upon your lips or in an action you do. It doesn't matter. The fox is not fussy. He will destroy anything. They will damage the vine. Now, one other interesting fact I learned about a fox. People used to fear foxes. But now foxes are actually considered friendly animals. You think of that in your own personal life. Maybe over the time of your adulthood, the changes that you have made in your spiritual life. Those practices which once you never involved yourself in. Those things that you always regarded were off limits. You would never have went near. You never had desire for them. You never ever gave any time or space to them. And yet now, you see no problem with them. You see no danger in them. Those places which were once no-go areas for you as a Christian, once you saw the danger that lay within them, once you saw the great depravity of them, and yet today, well, I don't see a problem with going there. I'm quite comfortable in there. I'm not partaking of anything. I'm within my strengths. I know what I'm doing. I'm in control. That which once was feared is now seen as friendly. Those appearances of the old life coming into the new life in Christ, they're not big, grave sins. But as it were, they're just little ones. And yet look at the damage the little fox can do in your life. We can sometimes, of course, in the eyes of God, we've no right to do this because it's God who judges which sin is more heinous than the other. But sometimes we take it upon ourselves to decide which is worse, which is relatively okay and which is not. And we'll start and put them into the big, little, mediums. We can look at the little things in our life as we see them and we can say, well, that little thing, it's not too bad. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 10 in the verse 1, he says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. What he's really saying there is a little apothecary, in other words, the ointment or the perfume bottle. You have a whole bottle of it, but one little fly gets in and dies in it. It's only a little speck in the whole bottle. But that one little speck can stink your whole testimony. Can have an effect upon your whole testimony. That one little speck can make you now look. The aroma comes off. It's not a sweet smelling fragrance of the Holy Spirit. But one little fly or one little fox make you stink. Child of God, do you see the harm that these little foxes can do? Maybe are doing in your life. You're abiding those things. That connection with Christ, that connection between the branch and the vine is being damaged. There's no fruit. Looking for the evidence of the fruit, and yet there's no fruit at all. There's not even a bud within the leaves. The fox has come in and damaged everything. The branch is completely bare. There's nothing to show forth Christ. the harm that a little fox can do. Secondly and finally, when you see the help to deal with them. The help to deal with them. Verse 15, it says, "Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Now, it's believed in biblical times that in Israel there were many, many foxes. You think of the time in Samson's life. Samson was there in Judges 15, verse 4. It speaks of how Samson went and he caught 300 foxes. And he tied firebrands to their tails and he let them into the fields of the Philistines. 300 foxes, it didn't seem too hard to find 300. There were many foxes. And these many foxes could do and did do much damage to vineyards and to vines. If you look closely at the words that are used by the bridegroom here, you will see the plural pronouns that are used. He says, "Take us foxes." And then he goes on to speak of our vines. He doesn't say, "You take the foxes," or "It's your vine." But rather, the bridegroom has an attachment. The bridegroom has an interest. He has a part to play. You see, the bridegroom never left it to the bride alone. After all, she had already failed to keep her vine. She said that in Song of Solomon 1, verse 6. "They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." In other words, the foxes had already destroyed her vineyard. She hadn't even been able to keep them out of her own vineyard. She hadn't been able to keep them away. The damage had been done. So the bridegroom now is saying, "Take us the foxes. It's our vines." How true that is in the spiritual life also. And salvation, which Christ purchased at the very highest of cost. Salvation which he freely gives. Not one of us could keep it. Not one of us could ever stand alone. Not even against the lion or the dragon. Not one of us could even stand against the little fox. That verse which I quoted earlier, John 15 and 5, finishes with these words, "Without me ye can do nothing." Child of God, we cannot get rid of those little foxes in our lives ourselves. We need them out, but we can't do it ourselves. We need the Lord. But you notice by this verse, equally, it's not something that is to be left to the Lord alone. The Lord has the capability. The Lord has infinite power. The Lord has infinite knowledge. The Lord could root out every single one of those foxes and take them away completely, but the Lord doesn't do that. The Lord wants the participation of His people, that desire to be in the people's hearts. You get rid of the fox, and I'll help you get rid of the fox. You set yourself against the fox. No longer abide those little sins in your life. No longer abide any of those issues and any of those errors in your life. But rather take them and get rid of them, and I'll help you get rid of them. You see, we are to be laborers together. The Lord's will in this regard is that we will play an active role in getting rid of the foxes in your life. You go over to the book of Ephesians in the chapter 5. Verse 17, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." 19, "Speaking to yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart." 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then you go down through the verses, it's speaking about the wife and the husband submitting yourselves. And then he goes on, he says, verse 25, "Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Then verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of the body of his flesh and of his bones for this cause. And he goes on, and then he speaks of verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. What is he bringing to us? There's a part to play. There's nothing to be left to the Lord in your spiritual walk. We are to be involved in it. We cannot do it alone, but the Lord gives us the strength. We cannot keep out the devil ourselves. We cannot even keep out the little foxes ourselves. But the Lord draws near, and he gives that command. But he says that he'll help us. We cannot do it alone. We will not do it alone. We want to have that blessed connection between the vine and the branches. If we want to have that beauty of Christ in us, we want to have that fruit of the Spirit growing upon our vine. We want to have that aroma even coming from the vine. Then we need to heed the words of verse 15. We need to take us the foxes. Even the little ones cannot give place in our lives to any sin. Regardless of how small or how insignificant you feel it to be. Even the littlest sin spoils the vine. We have tender grapes. That verse finishes there with those words, tender grapes. That just shows you the specialness of salvation. Shows that which the Lord views it as and how precious it is. Tender grapes. Child of God, don't abide one fox in your life. Don't let there be one issue, one sin that you just want to hold on to. Holding back that connection. It's holding back that spirit. It's holding back that sweet communion with the Lord. The Lord's desire is get rid of it. Don't let it damage and don't let it spoil. Have that sweet aroma of fellowship and union with Christ. Deal with those foxes. Look to the Lord for that strength to deal with them. Root them out. Be rid of them. And your vine will grow and flourish. And the fruit will be evident. That savor, that sweet smelling aroma of the Holy Spirit will be there. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee, O God, for thy word to our hearts afresh this morning. We thank thee, O God, even for the warning, the exhortation that's contained within it. O Father, may we never abide any of the foxes in our lives. May we never give them place. May we never let them flourish. But O Father, help us and give us that strength to get rid of them. To destroy them, that our vine, the branch even that connects us to Christ, that it will flourish and grow. Oh, Father, write thy word upon our hearts. Take us to our homes in safety now and bring us again tonight, I pray thee. In Jesus' name, amen.